in Parshas Vayera, so I decided that if the Kushan Samagit felt that it belongs in Parshas Vayera, so we should do it in Parshas Vayera. And we'll see in a minute. On the bottom of the page, Vahu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ohel Kechaim Hayoim. So, Avraham Avinu is sitting by the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. Isav Medrash Rabba, Pesach Toiv Pesachta La'ovrim V'shavim. Says a beautiful thing, the Medrash, that when it says that he was sitting in the opening of the tent, when it says that Avraham Avinu was sitting in the opening of the tent, the Chazal say that he himself made an opening, La'ovrim V'shavim, for all wayfarers, for all those who were going back and forth. But on a deeper level, the words in Hebrew, Ovrim Vishavim, you could hear in the words what they mean. It means simply wayfarers, travelers, Ovrim Vishavim, but it means sinners and Bali Tshuva. Ovrim Vishavim, someone who's Ovrim Avera, and someone who's trying to come back, Ovrim Vishavim. So Avraham Avinu made an opening for all those who have made mistakes and who are trying to change, who are trying to come back. He was the one that began. He was the one that started that world of Ovrim V'shavim, of returning. She'ilulei ato le'berosi shamayim v'aretz. Chazal say that Hashem says that if not for you, Avraham Avinu, I wouldn't have created heaven and earth. Shenemar, as it says, the other side of the page, Shenemar, v'yemoschem ke'ohel ha'shavis. That Hashem stretched out the heavens like a tent. So the tent of Avraham Avinu, or the image of Avraham Avinu sitting by the opening of the tent, calling out to all wayfarers, all travelers, on a deeper level to all those who have fallen, and trying to show them the way to come back. So Hashem says that if not for your tent, if not for that tent, I wouldn't have created this world, which is compared to the stretching of a tent, to staking a tent. That Avraham Avinu, through the mitzvah of Achnosis Ha'orchim, by welcoming in guests, by bringing in guests, with eating and with drinking, he called out in their mouths, meaning that he was able to publicize. And to publicize here it sounds too political. Hikri befihem, that he, Avraham Avinu, caused this revolution that people began to speak about the Rebbeinu Shlomo. He made Hashem's name known and popular and present in the mouths of the people of the generation. Hikri befihem shmoy shel Kadosh Baruch. Laman, I remember when I was a kid, you know, my mother had, there was a cleaning girl that she used to say for everything in Mirtzah Hashem. My mother said for everything in Mirtzah Hashem. She didn't know what she did. This girl used to always say, you know, Mirtzah Hashem. You come in Mirtzah Hashem. She said it the wrong way. We also said the wrong way. She said in Mirtzah Hashem. So to be makri befeet, that the mouths of people should be filled with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Laman das kol amei ha'aretz ki hu ha'boyre, that Hashem is the creator. Hu ha'mechalkel v'zonu mefarnes es b'yoysach. And this is what he told everybody, as you all know from the Midrashim, about Avraham Avinu used to ask, you know, where this food came from, and did you give a blessing, the bracha, to the one who gave it to, and so on. But the Rambam and others, when you look in the, I mean, when we read the Midrash, it's so deceiving. The Midrash, it sounds like first grade. So, you know, a couple of people come in, he says, oh, wait, before you eat it, you think where you got this food? And the Rambam, Avraham Avinu was the greatest philosopher in the world. And these conversations that he had were conversations in metaphysics, in philosophy, and in history, which in Chazal's simple way of putting it, that he would discuss, you know, who created the world and who gave you what to eat. But he would have deep philosophical discussions with people. And because of this, and through this, he brought many, many back. He brought many to return from their aveiros. V'achziru metshuva. You know, there's a disagreement in Chazal. How old was Avraham Avinu when he recognized, when he became aware of Hashem's presence? So one opinion says that he was 48. The other opinion says that he was three. So he says, L'chad man domer ben memcha shana hikris boira v'hoi yoyshiv mitztar al yomav she'ovru v'lorou toiva. That Avraham Avinu sat and was filled with anguish, was mitztar, was upset over the years of his life that he had wasted. He was upset about the years of his... He was devastated over the years of his life. According to the opinion that says he was 3 years old, there's not much to cry about. But according to the opinion, he was 48, and he finally came through his philosophical inquiries and so on to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Chazal tell us that according to this opinion, he was sitting and crying over the wasted years. Ad shenachameyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'omer lo tal yaldu secha ayin sham. He doesn't bring the whole Chazal. I once spoke about this by Riches, an amazing teaching from Rav Kook. We spoke about it in the shul. So I'm not going to repeat the whole Torah from Rav Kook. But the point in Chazal that we need for now is that it wasn't just that Avraham Avinu was upset about the wasted years. Avraham Avinu felt completely disqualified, according to Chazal. He felt totally disqualified to begin a new nation because of his past. Avraham Avinu had a past. Again, if you say, according to opinion that says he was three, even then he was a precocious child. But if you say he was a fully grown, mature man, he was 48 years old. And according to Chazal, he was saying, Hashem told him that he's going to start a new nation and that the world is going to be built through him. And he was thinking about the early years of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship and so on. And he felt totally disqualified. And he was embarrassed about his younger years. So according to Chazal, Hashem told him, the Pasuk, L'cha tal yaldu secha. That means to return to the dew of your youth. Return to the dew of your youth. L'cha tal yaldu secha. And Chazal say, the most beautiful things are when we're young. The innocence and joy to be uninhibited. All of those raw emotions that are unaffected by what others say and so on. That comes from one's youth. And over the course of one's life, we lose that freshness. So Rav Kook explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, and every Baal Tshuva, in other words, Baal Tshuva here doesn't just mean, I'm not talking about the Heimtike Baal Tshuva, you know, someone that never knew about Yiddishkeit, but people, anybody that wants to change, that wants to improve, that's made mistakes. So Rav Kook explains that many, many people have a hard time considering change and returning to Hashem because they remember the things that they've done. And they're embarrassed, they're humiliated about things that have happened in the past. I mean, male, as a result of that, they feel that they can't move on. So Hashem's response to that is, according to the way Rav Kook explains this Chazal, that Hashem responds to Avraham Avinu by saying, L'cha tal yaldu secha. He says, I want you to understand, this is how Rav Kook explains in this beautiful way, I want you to understand that I love the wildness and the passion and the craziness of when you were an idol worshiper. I thought it was great. I thought it was terrific. You were on fire. It was beautiful. You were using it for the wrong thing. I mean, you were passionate about a lie. You were inflamed about stupidity.
You didn't know better.
But that wasn't your fault. But now that you've come to recognize the truth, so the point that Rav Kook makes from this Chazal is that now that you've come to recognize the truth, I want you to return to the dew of your youth. I want you to use those emotions. This is a pure Chassidic idea. I want you to use those emotions, and I want you to use that passion and that fire, but to use it for what's right. Not to break yourself and to run away from who you are. Like which will very often happen with a person who wants to do tshuva. That he rejects the first part of his life. And he looks at the first part of his life as being disgusting, as being ugly, as something which would disqualify him and cast him out of God's presence. And Rav Kook explains from this Chazal, L'cha tal yaldu secha means no. No, the emotions, the craziness, the uninhibited, reckless abandonment, that's how I want you to daven. With recklessness, screaming and yelling. Because, you know, the Nefesh of Bahamas, the Tanya explains so many times that the animal soul is a very active part of us. A Yetzirah talks very loud. You know, if you have a Yetzirah, it screams, it yells, it's, you know, if you see, all right, I don't have to give examples. Everybody knows within his own life. When it comes to the Yetzirah makes itself known. The Yetzirah Tov is very, very idle, as my father would say, is idle, right? But not idle, I-D-L-E. I mean, a certain way, it exists. But it's edelkeit, it's gentleness, it's very delicate, the Yetzirah Tov. So when it comes to the Yetzirah says, you got to do this, you got to have this. When it comes to the Yetzirah Tov says, maybe it would be nice for you to try, you know, to do this. So Bahamius, the Nefesh Bahamius, the animalistic part of us, is very, very strong and very powerful. The tachlis of being a Jew, and this is the yesod of chassidus, is not to run away from that, those basic instincts and the passion. The point is how to use that in a constructive way. And that's the deeper meaning of Luchat Tal Yadusecha. Therefore, Rav Kook explains the whole Indian of the Akedah is amazing. What's the Akedah? This week's parish of the Akedah. We're living because of the Akedah. Huh? Klai Yisrael's with people because of the Akedah. So what's the whole Indian of the Akedah? So Rav Kook explains, and it's all from this. Rav Kook says that the Akedah, the Baruch Shalom tells Avraham Avinu to sacrifice his son, to shecht his son. So Avraham Avinu, Rav Kook, the way Rav Kook describes this, it's, you can't say it the way Rav Kook wrote it. But Rav Kook describes that Avraham Avinu standing there by the Har Moriah, and he's holding the machelis, he's holding the knife, and he's thinking to myself, look at me. This is what I was part of when I was a young man. Human sacrifice. This disgusting, depraved, these things that I've spent so much time trying to get away from. And how could it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending me back into this craziness, into this ugliness? And Rav Kook says he's standing there with this thought as he's lifting up the knife to Shecht, the Shecht Yitzchak. And he can't believe it. And Hashem stops him. And that's when, according to Chazal, Hashem said to him, Avram, L'cha tal yaldusech, I don't want you to become a sad philosopher. That's not the idea of being a Jew. I want you to be a passionate, wild Michigan. And I want you to have that passion of Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah, if you look at National Geographic, they know how to dance. You ever see that? They dance. Chleibedik. No, it's embarrassing for us sometimes. Except it's not, obviously that comes from the Nefesh Bahamas. But if you think of it, we do one or two hakafas and, it's already, we let the chevra take over. You let the young... But if you look at National Geographic, I'm assuming that's still around National Geographic. You know what I mean? If you look at the jungle, the jungles. I used to, when I was going to graduate school, I used to drive through one of those neighborhoods. And, excuse me, I don't mean on the night of the election to sound like, God forbid, not a liberal. But I would pass by those places, and on every block there's one of these music places, music place. And I sit by the light, and this is true. I would sit by the light and I would watch. It's very interesting to watch from the safety of a car, and I would watch that even those that like 90 years old, when they would pass by the shop, they do a thing. They were doing like a little thing, and I said, "Gevaldig, good thing." Imagine. So I was, Leibedik and Eugenuven Beseva, except of course it is a kind. It's a Bahamias, it's an instinct almost, it's a physiological act, as opposed to something that comes from the Nefesh of kids. But when Hashem Yisbarach says to Avraham Avinu, L'cha tal yaldusecha, go back to the dew of your youth, meaning I didn't mean for you to drop that passion of Avodah Zarah. I meant for you to put on tefillin the way that you used to do, the way you used to bring up a human sacrifice, with the dancing, with the passion, with the fire. That's what I meant. L'cha tal yaldusecha, to return to the dew of your youth, not to run away from it, but the seichel, now that you're an adult. So the Rebbe is saying, the Kosher Zemagid is saying, is that Kosher Baruch Hu comforted Avraham Avinu and told him, I know what you're thinking, I know what you're worried about, that you're embarrassed, you're humiliated when you think back to the early years. And who's not? Who's not? You're embarrassed and you're humiliated. So Hashem said, I don't want you to run away from that. L'chot al yad usercha. Return to that. Ayin shah. Biyur divrayim. So Kosher Zemagid explains. Ki acher sheniskarev leboro b'tshuv me'ahava. Once Avraham Avinu returned to Hashem, returned to his Creator with great loving tshuva, with tshuva from love, so oz zidonus naslo kizochius. So we know that according to Chazal, when a person returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not out of fear, not because he's afraid of a patch, but he returns because of a deep conviction and love, the Chazal tell us that not the Averis are not erased, but then the Averis are transformed into mitzvahs, as we've often discussed, which is one of the greatest mysteries of creation. That we're just so used to hearing it, it's a Gemara, so we're so used to hearing it, but it's true, and Lamais is true, and that the Averis are transformed into mitzvahs. So what does that mean? So he says, "Vahatam." The reason for this is because mach mishal yidei hazidainis, because of those averas, ba lamailas bal tshuva. He was able to reach the high madrega of a bal tshuva, and that's how the Magid is explaining lechot tal yaldusecha that Avraham Avinu is humiliated, is embarrassed about the past, and Hashem's Baruch tells him, "What are you talking about? Now that you've come to recognize the truth, all of that ugliness of the past has changed into something which is positive. It's been transformed. It's all fixed." Not only is it fixed, but it's because of that that you became this person. It's because of that you became this person.
I heard a similar explanation for in love on Garti, for Tayyar Shamarti, below Mamadati Namasa Varayim. So the question is, if I was keeping the Tayyar Mitzvahs, obviously I didn't learn.
Yeah.
So the explanation is that I should have learned from him the historicals with which he did not.
Very good, very good.
I should do it.
Who'd you see that from?
I heard it from my father years ago.
Yeah. That's from the Baal Shem Tov Avart. Me'oivai techak meini. That I should... David Amel says that, let me become wise by learning from my enemies. If you learn... That you can learn from the Yetzirah. That's what we were talking about. That the Yetzirah has so much energy. When the Yetzirah... I always tell the boys in Yeshiva that, you know, that... There's this fellow that he's come late for davening for the last 2 years. He's in yeshiva. He's come late for the last 2 years. So today, it was a big simcha. We all made a whole thing. He came on time. You know, for 2 years I'm talking to him, I tried everything. I'm not so hard. He's Nebuchadnezzar, and I don't push him like this. But we relied on him. But 2 years like this, I'm just like... So I said to him, you know, that... If it would be, you know, you say, so what's the matter? Why don't you? It's a difference of getting up 15 minutes earlier. I can't. I wish I went to sleep earlier, and I can't. So, if there's anything, this guy is such a labored guy that, like, if there's like an announcement over the loudspeaker, like from the office, he like stands up, he's ready to go. He's ready to move. Maybe he's on call. He's almost ready to go. So I said to him, I said, listen, Moshe, what are you, you know, you have so much energy. What do you think, you don't have energy? But that's the difference when it comes to a mitzvah than the Yetzer HaTov is with the Nadelkeit. And that's what it means, Ma'ayvai Techak Meini. That one should learn from one's enemy. That's the example of stumbling, listening, you know, to the loudspeaker. But when it comes to Averis... When it comes to Averis, somebody comes and tells you that there's an Avera, such and such an Avera, and it sounds interesting. People, it's not a pell in our eyes how people will stand online to go see a movie. No, people stand online to go see a movie. I remember once when I was in high school, I don't remember what the movie was, but I remember it was at Radio City. I stood for 3 hours. It was cold. I'm sitting in line to see some ridiculous movie that at best it's not filled with schmutz, and at worst it's overflowing with it. So for hours, patient, you know, to such a, you know, but ever see somebody, if somebody has to spend more than 5 minutes looking at an essay, okay, come on, wrap one up for me already. Will you wrap it up for me already? I don't have all day. You know, it's like. Or when it comes to, you know, or there's about tefillah that's taking an extra 30 seconds. Come on! Yeah, 30 seconds. Because you have 30 seconds on the cheshbon of a nap. You know, it's like, what is it? You don't have time for that. You don't have time. If the Baruch Shalom would take all the minutes that were spent looking at the wrong things and listening to the wrong things and so on, so it would add up to much more than the extra 10 minutes of standing to listen to Kesa Yitn Lucha or something. And that's just the way it is. Ma'ayva techak meini, the Baal Shem Tov Zvar, what Nachum said, that it's such a true vart. If you stop for a second and you think, why don't I, what's the matter with him? What's the matter? We're just talking about this. So, the person stops and thinks, what's the matter with this? For this, I don't have quickness. For this, I don't have energy. That's what he's saying. Bia divrei. Oh, yeah. Says Vatam Machm Shaide is Dennis Balamas Bal Chuvu. Mistama, Hamaskarv Malavram, Lomdu Archoisov Gamkin Lasis Chuvu. Therefore, those who became close to Avram Avinu, those who he was Makarv. So Mistama, he says that that they too learned from the ways of Avraham Avinu. In other words, Avraham Avinu would sit with them and would talk to them about good things, about the Baruch Shalom, about Amun and so on. And he sees like these guys are krechzing probably. And Avraham Avinu says, "What's the matter? You know, whatever, Ahmed, what's wrong with you?" So he'd say, do you have any idea, Rabbi Avraham? Do you have any idea what I've been doing? What kind of monkey business I've been involved in for the last 20 years? Do you have any idea? Genevis and Ritzichis and Glarais, and you have any idea what kind of stuff I'm doing? So Avraham Avinu understood this. So Avraham Avinu what? So he says, B'shama mimenu tanchumi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu used to tell them, listen, I want to tell you something. I understand what you're talking about. I went through the same thing. I was totally tzibrochen about my past. Akidekach, that when Hashem told me that He wants to build a whole new world for me, I was so embarrassed I couldn't even face Him. I couldn't even think about it. And I know what you're thinking about. So Avraham Avinu would give them over the Tanchumi Hashem, Hashem's words of consoling. Tal Yaldu Secha, return to the dew of your youth. The same message. Instead of thinking that your past is disgusting and is a disgrace and keeps you away from Hashem, Adarabba, that passion, that warmth of the way that you were carrying out all your monkey business, Adarabba, return to that passion, but now come to me and use it in a good way. Kishone hayaldu shelo yodas baruhem ketal, shonem hatoyves abos. He says that you should know that those younger years, those immature years, doesn't make a difference how old you are. It could be 70 also, but those years it means immature, not knowing Hashem. Those younger years of immaturity where you didn't know Hashem, you should know they're like dew. L'shonim ha'tovus abos, that prepare the way, that moisten the moisten and prepare the earth for the good stuff, for what's coming. V'heim hoyu ha'goyrim li'os bal tshuva koyomov. Not only that, but you should know that those earlier years brought you towards this way of tshuva. It's that warmth and that passion that didn't allow you to sit quietly, and to ignore the truth. So the Kodesh Magid is telling us Avraham Avinu's method in Kiruv, that he was mechazik all these bali averus, these people of averus, he was mechazik them lo shuv al Hashem. When they saw that Hashem yemino psuch lekabel shavim, that Hashem's hand was open, His right hand was open to receive all Bali Tshuva to come back. Now we understand the Chazal. Chazal say in the first posik in the parasha, we read the Chazal at the beginning, that Avraham Avinu was Yoshev Pesach Oil Kachayim. The Torah says that he was sitting by the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. And Chazal say that Pesach Toiv Pesach, that you opened a beautiful opening, La'ovrim V'la'shovim, which in simple Hebrew means for the wayfarers. But the Kushan Samagat is explaining that it means Oivrim, those people who were Oivr, who were embarrassed about their Averis. And they didn't know how to come back. So he made a Pesach Toiv La'ovrim V'shovim, Shaideh, a Pesach Shehich Nisa'orchim. And he took these wayfarers, he took these guests in. Niftach shar ledoifke b'tshuva. He made an opening for all those, a gate for all those who are knocking on the doors of tshuva to come back. V'nikroim oivrim b'shovim. They're called oivrim b'shovim. Shemet chila over ritzayne. That in the beginning of their lives, they were over the ratzon Hashem. They went against Hashem. Shovim acharkech liyes oisir ritzayne. V'zehoy atachlis maisei shamayim v'aretz. Loshuv kol echad el yoitzray. And that's where Chazal say that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you should know that I created the world because of your tent. I created the world because of that tent, and the world is compared, the creation is compared to stretching a tent. And that tent, Chazal compared to the tent of Avraham Avinu, which was a place for Ovrim Vishavim. That the world was created for this way of tshuva. The world was created. You made that opening, and the world exists because, like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, that the greatest nachas that the Baruch Shalom has is when somebody who is far away is brought near. And for that reason, that there's a bria. And that's what we've learned in these. We learned in these parashas that behi barom is ba'avraham. Let's learn the next piece. I'm sorry, I should have given it to you right away. You see the piece that begins. Vayikra Avraham Shem Amokam Ahu Hashem Yireh. So Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, he names the place that Hashem sees. Hashem is seen on this mountain. Hashem will be seen. Hashem sees and Hashem will be seen. The Targum Yerushalmi perish atahu dechame v'loy mischame. The Targum translates, the Targum Yerushalmi translates the pasuk atahu, this is the mountain where Hashem, you see, but you cannot be seen. That's what it means. Dechame v'loy mischame. You see, but you're not seen. Dvar b'tzrichin biyur. We have to understand this teaching of the Targum Yerushalmi. V'nirali dihine b'shas nisoyin. Because the Maggid says also a very big yesod in the Torah of Baal Shem Tov. And I alluded to this on Shabbos for a minute, this past Shabbos. He says that at a time of a nisoyin, when a person is being tested, when Hashem is testing a person with some matter, what makes the nisoyin so difficult is that at the moment of the nisoyin, at the moment of the test, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals his kedusha, he conceals his presence. He conceals that, part of the nisoyin, or the greatest part of the nisoyin, is that when you're being tested, you don't have, you're not in a state of that hislavus that you might have had during the ilah, or you might have had by shalashudas, or by some other moving experience in Yiddishkeit of the year. That during the nisoyin includes in it, and the most brutal part of the nisoyin, is the fact that the dafka, when you need most to have some hisayrus, to have some to find within oneself some hisayrus, some positive spiritual feelings, dafka then the nisayin includes in it the concealment of Hashem. That one's understanding, one's hasaga that was before has become lessened and diminished. Because if things would be as clear to you as during the nisayin, during the test, as they were, let's say in Yom Kippur by Ne'ilu, or as they were by that moment of closest to Hashem, if it would be as clear to you, then what? The test wouldn't be considered anything. It wouldn't be a test. It wouldn't prove anything to yourself, because of course we know this is not for Hashem. As all the Mefarshim explain, Hashem doesn't need any test results to see how where you're holding. This is for you. In order for you to be certain of your commitment to the Rebbein Shalom, it can't be that you're responding just to a positive feeling. Positive feelings. We'll talk about that, I think, in Mitzvah a little bit on Shabbos and more by Riches. But positive feelings, they're very beautiful. It's very, very nice. But being an Eved Hashem, being a servant of Hashem, means even if you feel nothing at all, if you feel nothing at all, you force yourself to do the right thing. Without any spirituality, without any, you know, without the lights out and the guitars playing, and without, you know, feeling totally empty. And afal pichen, nevertheless, nevertheless, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to resist this temptation. Because whenever you have a nisayin, Hashem is hiding from you. When you have a nisayin, Hashem is hiding. The test to prove to yourself that you're an Eved Hashem is not during the moments of closeness. It's not during the moments of awareness. It's dafka during the moments of difficulty. And you continue and you persevere to serve Hashem. That proves that you're an Eved Hashem. Ati yadati ki yirei elukim ata. Now I know that you're a God-fearing person. Not that you're a person that you act upon positive feelings, excitement, or you're thrilled by Yiddishkeit, and so on. But you're a person that you're committed to the Baruch Shalom, to being an Eved. Sof kol sof, when you have a good feeling and you're doing something as a result of the good feeling, it's because you're enjoying it, and it feels good. It makes you feel good. That's not necessarily being an Eved Hashem. You're serving yourself. It's nice. Halavai, we should all feel good about everything. But Lamaisa, it's deceiving, because at that moment, what you're doing is serving your own the good feeling that you have of like l'moshel, a person, you know, some very often people this happens particularly amongst the group of the pre-20 group more than later on, but it happens to anybody and everybody that I love this person, or do I love this person? You know, you're meshugah in love, and you buy every card and send every piece of chocolate, and you're meshugah in love. And until the person disagrees with you, or resists your efforts to move forward in the relationship and sometimes in an inappropriate way, let's say, without being graphic. So all of a sudden, a person can reconsider the virtues of his love, how much he loves that person. How could it be? Last night you're in love, you know, you're sending flowers, and tonight they're already such a chaos and anger and so on. And what did I do? I'm making a mistake. Because the person, that love was not for the other. That was a love that was a matter of satisfying oneself. And I had a certain, this person made me feel a certain way, gave me a certain type of pleasure, and served my needs. And as a result of that, I love the way that person made me feel loved. And in the words of Tevye, if that's not love, what is? That's what the person thinks. But that's not love. That's not a hava. That's, I mean, it's love. It's loving yourself. It's loving yourself. Honest. Yeah, right. Exactly. You remember that. It's love of oneself. I enjoy this. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. And it's very confusing. People get married in that first type. A lot of people get married.
I don't know if you at the Madrega when you're serving Hashem out of love. I mean, it's a Madrega to reach. I mean, if you're feeling good about it, then it's a different. I mean,
it's a Madrega to reach, and of course, and I'll explain this much more on Shabbos, Mitzvah Shem. I mean, I'm thinking of talking about this tomorrow night and to explain this more on Shabbos. That is, of course, it's a bonus. It's wonderful. It's terrific. But it's uncertain. It's an uncertain thing. It's philosophic. You don't know about, you don't know yourself until you've passed the test. When you're feeling emotional about it and you want to do a mitzvah, of course it's beautiful. And Hashem loves that, and that's terrific. And our vote is supposed to be with excitement and enthusiasm. But one could be deceiving oneself. When the person passed the tests of Yiras Hashem, And then infuses Ahavas Hashem, love of God, into one's Avoda. So that's a good sign. That's Avram Avinu. That's what happened with Avram Avinu with the Akeda, the joining together, the merging of Avram and Yitzchak, and so on. That's good. That's beautiful. But when you're talking about, I have strong spiritual feelings, and I'm acting upon those spiritual feelings, I don't think I have to explain to you where those feelings can take people. You know, you can go to a... You drive 30 seconds outside South Fallsburg. You know how many Jews on the ashram. First of all, come and say that when I wasn't religious, I had stronger spiritual feelings. Now I've been religious, and like you know, the strongest feeling I have is when the guy says Kiddush. You know, like that's the highlight of my day. Kiddush. You know, and here like I used to be in the ashram. I had a girl. A young woman when I was teaching in on the West Side, she swore to me. I'm telling you, she says, Rabbi, I'm telling you that she was in a convent. She was living with nuns for a long time. And she said that she had an experience of what's it called, levitation, like being lifted off a bed and seeing Yashke, the whole, you know, Steven Spielberg, the whole thing. She had all this stuff, and she says, like you know, ever since I came into the fold, this is a Jewish girl. She became a Baal Teshuva. So in the beginning, she said it was a gewaldigness, but like, you know, over the years, she says, now it's, you know, I used to be a much more spiritual person. I'm not spiritual anymore. I'm not spiritual. And this is a cry that one has to be sensitive to. It's not a simple thing, and one has to realize that it's coming from a lot of pain. Avaydis Hashem, serving the Baruch Shalom, means avaydis Evid. Means hard work. And when there are those positive, wonderful, good feelings, and we can work on generating them, and we always try to in our learning and our davening, of course. But until you're tested with Yiras Hashem, you can't be certain where that's coming from. You can't be certain. He said, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, it's interesting, a lot of times people will find that when they go to the bathroom, they have thoughts of Torah. Pellet. When you go into the Beis HaKis, you have a thought of Torah. Are we supposed to be learning and thinking about the Beis HaKis? There are different types of Beis HaKis, right? He says, it's a wondrous thing. As a person known oneself, you know, Here you're doing an act of physical act, an act of tumah, in a dirty place, and all of a sudden you start to think about netzach hod yisoid malchus, and it's a real problem that the Svarim address. It's a real problem that so you could say, well, this is a. It takes more than putting on a garter to make that separation. But it's interesting. Where does that come from? So the person could think, I have a gewaltige Ahavas Hashem, even in the bathroom, I'm thinking about the spheres. Okay, maybe the Bedichah would say a nice thing like that, right? Even in the bathroom, he's thinking about the Rosh Hashanah. But the emes is that Avodas Hashem means that in the Beis Medrash, or everywhere else in the world, you think about the Rosh Hashanah. And the Beis Hakisa, you think about nothing, about the World Series or something, right? That's what in other words, you do the right thing at the right time. But if the ahava is in the wrong place or the wrong time, or it trespasses halacha, that it goes beyond the boundaries of halacha. It's, I love the Baruch Shalom so much that I have to do X, Y, and Z to show him my love. I'm going to have to, in other words, I have to break past some of the barriers to show him my love. I can't hold it. Then you have to be very, very careful. It's the same as people who break barriers in their love. In the love that they have for another person, and all kinds of barriers, all kinds of walls are being torn down for the sake of love. Yiras Hashem means that when it's time to think of the Baruch Shalom, you think of the Baruch Shalom, and when it's time not to think, those rare moments when it's time to not be that, it's not. When it's the wrong thing, the wrong person, the wrong place, the simon that you have to wonder where it's coming from. That's the Moshantu was saying. Where does that come from? I don't know. It's not so poshut. But Yiras Hashem, you know where it's coming from. When you're alone, when you're far away in some business trip, and a person's in a hotel room, and there's a television there, and no one's gonna ever know, not the wife, not the children, no one's gonna know, and it's a question of pressing a remote control, and no one will ever find out. And a person stops and says. And thinks to himself, Elokim Nisa as Oisi, that the Baruch Shalom is testing me. So, do we know what gives Hashem more nachas when he's screaming and jumping on Simchas Torah, or when he's sitting someplace, who knows where, in Oklahoma, in some stupid little hotel room, and he says to it, and he looks at the remote control and says, Fech. And he takes out a book or a paper and goes to sleep. Does anybody know? Only the Baruch Shalom knows. And where does one get one's points? Who knows? I mean, that's what it means, Yer Shamayim. So it means Yer Shamayim. Dancing and singing, it's all beautiful in the context of Yer Shamayim. Nevad, it's always, as long as it's in halach, it's good. We have to do whatever we can. I have to do whatever we can. But Yer Shamayim, that's what the Kedah is about, Yer Shamayim. That's what it means. And at the time of the Nisayin, the hardest thing is that you don't feel the same way about Hashem as you did during Hakafas. When you come to that, when you're in that hotel room someplace, you're not thinking the way you were thinking about Hakafas. If somebody would have come over to you in Hakafas, by Atta Haresa, let's say, and said, hey, you want to go see, there's a movie, By Atta Haresa, you thought, what are you, a shigger? Ugh, it's disgusting. I'm not interested in that stuff. I want only to dance for the Baruch Shalom. Right? So, but when you're going through Nisayan, then you don't have that clarity of Hakafas. The Atta Haresa, okay, Hashem, look, you don't have that. That's the Nisayan. Because if not, he says, "Lahaya nisa nechshel l'klum." Bavada ain't tema mishideya. Anybody that knows, she'omed l'fnei a melech gadol v'noyer shal yimrod by v'hu areyu. You know that if you're standing before a great and awesome king, who doesn't know? If you're standing in front of a great and awesome king, you wouldn't rebel against him. Meshuga. When you know that you're standing in front of the king, you're gonna go, "What, stick out your tongue?" The king is standing there. When the teacher would turn around, you'll go, right? But if the king is looking at you, he's looking at you. You wouldn't dare do anything. That's wrong. On them in and he saw him, he says, what's the Nisayin? Shemistalik behirus adam. That clarity disappears. Varahu boli de Nisayin, the Kovish Yitzhak, he conquers the Yitzhahara Bemanasai with his Amuna, or Mischazik, with simple Amuna, nothing fancy. At that moment, he doesn't remember the Ramchals and the Maharals. Plain Amuna Pshuta. Loshu Laboyre to come back to the Baruch Shalom. Ozu Nikra Oimibin Nisayin. That's passing the test. The Rebbe says it probably when the Baruch Shalom is testing Avraham Avinu, take your son. He wasn't Avraham Avinu then. He was like, if we could say, I don't know if we're permitted to say, he was like us. He was Avraham Avinu Kivyachal. It was like that person in the hotel room. You see, if you're thinking of Avraham Avinu, so you think, so it's the big God. Was Avraham Avinu did what Hashem said? And Chanami. But when you think that Avraham Avinu, that at that moment he was like us. And perhaps that's hinted at in the pasuk when it says that he saw Hara Maria from a distance, from a great distance. Hashem is called the place. And that's why it says, Shuhum Akum Shalom Hashem is the place of the world. Near. When it says, that when he was going through the Akedah, Hashem seemed so far from him, so distant from him. Hashem was called Malkum. He was trying to come to that dveikus. He was trying to feel the hakofis, the ne'ila. He couldn't come to it. Therefore, he said to Yishmael, to Eliezer, stay over here, machamor, v'darshu chazal, the one who's like a donkey, v'aniva nar nelcha. And I and the, and my son and now we will go. Avraham Avinu was wondering, what's the matter with me? How come I don't feel close to Hashem? Here I'm going to fulfill, God told me to do something and I'm on my way to do it and I feel absolutely nothing. So he was wondering, why did Hashem leave him? So what did he think? It must be because of these two, meaning Eliezer and Yishmael, right? It must be because of them that they're taking you along, and because they're not on this madrega as my son and myself, so they're staring. You know, it's like they're causing this this static in the transmission. They're disturbing. So he tells them, "You stay here, and I'm going to go." Now I'm going to move ahead and return to those strong feelings of being attached to Hashem. Like you see the similar idea. So Avraham Avinu was familiar with the situation because it happened to him with Lot. Because Hashem began to speak to him, as Rashi explained in last week's parasha, Hashem spoke to Avraham, wouldn't speak to him when he was together with Lot. And then he pardoned him. When Lot went away, then the Baruch Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu, so he understood. Oh. So Avraham Avinu knew that Hashem is not going to speak to me when I'm keeping such company. So he figured, it must be that the reason that I'm feeling this distance from Hashem is because of the company that I'm keeping. So he sent them away. You stay here. So he went, the two of them went together. Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. Bitmimus. Totally, in total simplicity. Lasas v'tzoyn koinem bi'ahavu b'chiba b'munosan. In other words, the Rebbe doesn't spell it out, but after he left them there, so he said to Yitzchak, "Come on, now that we left the riffraff behind, let's attach ourselves to the Baruch Shalom." And they're looking at each other and they're thinking, "How you doing? Yeah, how's it going by you? Nothing. So that was an Nisayon that they went, that they kept on walking. They didn't say, the feeling is gone. They kept on going. Adshin nishlam bahava b'chiba with love. Not feeling love. That's not what he's saying, that they felt in love. They went out of love. Bahava b'chiba b'manasa. Adshin nishlam ha'nisoyin. Sha'omloi al tishlach yodcha. So Hashem called out to Avraham Avinu, al tishlach yodcha, don't send your hand. In other words, don't shecht your son. Now I know that you are children, you are God fearing. And Hashem showed him the substitute, the aisle, the animal, lahalis la'ola, to bring up for an offering. Then and only then he returned to his previous state, to his previous madrega of behirus, of clarity and tveikus and attachment. For he maven aydezer. So trying to imagine, he's sitting and thinking, what happened? Like, why did this happen to me? that here I am, the greatest moment, and I can't muster up the feelings. So then Hashem told me not to do it. So I didn't do it. And now I'm feeling like dveikus. I'm feeling like such closeness. He says, "Vayimavim al dezek hakadosh baruch hu malay kol aretz kavod," that Hashem fills all of creation, fills the whole world. He was thinking about that no matter where a person hides, you can't hide from Hashem. You can't hide from Hashem. There's a statement by Rashi says in Tehillim Perek Nun Dalet. You look in Rashi there. Rashi says that a person can hide me oivav. You can hide from your enemies, but not me oihavav, but not from the ones who love you. You can't hide. Only from your enemies. Me oivav v'loi me oihavav. From one who really loves you, you can't hide. Only from someone who hates you, you could hide, maybe. So he says he understood that the Baruch Shalom, you can't hide from Hashem. Omnam el ha'odam nidme ke'ilu chalila ena kadosh baruch ho'rehu. But in life, Avraham Avinu was thinking now, it seems to man, that chalila, as if God doesn't see you. There are times when you feel that God's not, there are times that you feel suddenly that God's not watching. Like he's taking off, that Hashem's not looking at you. Because that's how Hashem made it when it's a test. At the time of a test, all of a sudden that which you know, it's so simple to you that God's always watching. At the time of a test, it seems to you that chalila, God's not watching. That all of a sudden the world that had previously been filled with God's glory is still filled with God's glory, except this hotel room. Okay? This corner of creation, God's not looking. God doesn't see. That's what happens in Yisrael. Because if it wouldn't happen, we wouldn't sin staring at Hashem in the eyes, we wouldn't do it. So what happens? And in Yisrael, by Yisrael you think that the Baruch Shalom is watching the whole universe, but Davki here, he's not watching. That's why he named the mountain. What a beautiful thing. That's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the place that to where all eyes are turned. The place of the Har HaBayis. And he named that place Hashem will see. Perish a Targum, and the Targum explains this, the name of Yushalayim, of Hashem Yira. The what? The Ad Chami V'loi Mischami. Hashem, you see, but you can't be seen. He named it that, Dahainu Shenoidelo Ata. Avraham Avinu said, over here is where I learned, on this mountain, I learned a great lesson. Shenoidelo Ata, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Rovei Sa'odim Tamid. I learned that God is always watching, but when I'm going through a hard time, it seems to me that he's not watching. But afterwards I realized that every second he was watching. Gam kisho ha'odam eino margish ha'behiris, even when man does not feel that clarity. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cham v'lo mischami. And that's the Mokim HaMikdash. That's the Mokim HaMikdash. That's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Of man's avodas Hashem. That one serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes sacrifices. Making sacrifices means that at this moment of my life, it seems to me as if God doesn't care. It seems to me as if Hashem is not watching, and I stop and I say, and I do it, I make the right sacrifice, I do what I'm supposed to do, and then I realize afterwards, oh, Hashem, Hashem was watching. At the time, I didn't see it. Right after Avraham Avinu does the Akedah, he's filled with that awareness that Hashem is there. At the time, where's Hashem, where's God? He doesn't see God. And then he makes the sacrifice. He's prepared to make the sacrifice. And all of a sudden, the whole world is Mlok Halaritz Kivoda. Hashem is everywhere. So he says, that's why he names the mountain, that Hashem sees. But you don't see until after. You don't see until after. That's why I mentioned in Shul, the teaching from the Ishbitzer, that the Meir Shiloh says, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Hashem. Hareini nas kvedecha. He saw that it was a good time to chaperein. So he asked Hashem, let me see, I want to see your face. Show me your face. Hashem said, Panaleira, you can't see my face. Achaira, you see my back. And Chazal say what? The kesher shel tefillin. But Hashem showed him the kesher of tefillin. The tefillin, the knot of the tefillin on the back of the neck. So the Rebbe said, what's that? What does that mean? So the Meir Shiloh explains that Ponei Le'Yiro means that when you're going through something, a difficulty, you don't see Hashem. It's only after that's finished, then you turn around and you look, and then you realize that all of that time you thought that Hashem wasn't with you, He was wrapped around you. He was attached to you with the kesher. That's what kesher means. That He was tied to you. B'shas ma'itzeh, it seems to you, it says, Ponel, you can't see my face. You can only see me afterwards. Afterwards, when you look back, achar ra'is, then you'll see the kesher was never taken, was never loosened. That there was always that knot that held me to you. B'shas ma'itzeh, you don't see it. Yeah. Huh? Mikam Chi Yisrael.
See, in hindsight, you didn't realize when you're going through that the Tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was this idea of Mikam Chi Yisrael.
Right.
In hindsight, you see that it's all connected.
You see that it's Mikam. Yeah, that's what it says in Hashem's tefillin. Mikam Chi Yisrael. And it doesn't just mean the Jewish people. It means there's no one that I love as much as you. But when you're going through the difficulty, it seems to you that Chalila Hashem's not looking. Hashem doesn't care. But afterwards, when you look back, you say, oh, I realize that that's... We feel that a little bit when we think back on things, things that happened in the past with parents and other people that loved us, that Shas Maya said we were angry about certain decisions or certain things. Maybe, you know, in many cases, the anger was justified. But very often when a person looks back and you think that you know, on a simple level, that I remember feeling so upset that my friends went to Madison Square Garden. It was a night. I remember that they went on the train to Madison Square Garden, and my parents didn't let me go. And I thought, you know, what was I cursed with? What kind of curse, a klala, that I have such parents? My mother's telling me that there are a lot of anti-Semites out tonight, you know. And I said, what kind of anti-Semites? Who's where? My mother sees the whole world like, you know. So I said, where? What? I'm going with a group of 10. You know, I gave all the terrorist explanations, and my father says, no, you're not going. It's too late. You're too young, you know. And I said, what kind of thing is this? And when you look back, I see that Baruch Hashem, I had the best parents. And I see that, and I know from my friends' experiences that they didn't have that kind of ahava. Yeah, at the time, you can't take it. But when you look back, you see the kesher shel tum. When you're in the mitzvah itself, all you see is that they don't see what they don't understand. You don't understand. You ever hear that from your kids? You ever hear that? Dad, you don't understand. You don't understand. And, you know, I wonder, maybe it's, you know, I'm worried, maybe they're right. I don't know. But sometimes it's very, very partial to see that you know what you're talking about. You're talking about something partial. You've been through that mistake. You know, you've been there, done that. So you know that the kid's going to do something. You know, it's crazy. And the kid looks at you and says, you don't understand. And that's my say, you know, they look at you like that, that you're not looking at them. You don't see them. And then you're thinking, you know, you're going to look back and, you know, and if you say it, then you're the biggest moron if you say it. If you say, when you'll be older, you can't say that because that's such a parent thing to say. You'll see when you'll be older, you'll appreciate this. Then they look at you like, I'm going to appreciate this. You know, I'm not going to appreciate this. I'll never appreciate it. But then you look back and you see the kesher shel tefillin, and the saddest thing is that when you look back sometimes and you want to say the things that you should have said a long time ago, then you don't find the words. And the saddest thing is when Chalila, the person's already left the world, and you can't say the words about how I knew that all that time you loved me, and I never reciprocated, I never showed you the way I felt, and I always suspected that you didn't understand me. That's the tragedy. That's the greatest tragedy. It's the greatest tragedy. We shouldn't ever have Chalila such thoughts and such regrets. But we should be zarchim et Hashem. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be seen, and to realize that we're being seen by Hashem as well. And we should see the binyan of Yerushalayim of Yisrael. Amen.